old trunk and found this letter dated 1924, and it tells my grandparents' trip coming west. And now Scott Edwin Harris was born, now that's my father, on June the 20th, 1878, in Fayette County, Illinois, in the old Harris home, 10 miles northwest of Vandalia, Illinois. In March 1880, with his parents and sister, we moved to Mountain, North Dakota, and lived there 6 months. Then on October, moved to Glencoe, Minnesota, and lived there for 1 year. Moved to Millbank in South Dakota there one summer. Scott was a very ill, sick little boy. Now that's my father. Had fever and was hardly able to get out when we left the north for the west coast. Long to Minneapolis, down to Davenport, Iowa, took the immigrant train for San Francisco, came from there up the Pacific coast in a steamship, Queen of the Pacific, and arrived in eastern Washington in November and stayed there 1 month. Let's see. You may not want to use this. Wintered at Steptoe Butte, came to Union County in April, took a donation claim in the Trout Creek area, 8 miles north of what is now Enterprise. When we first settled there, it was all in Union County. Wallowa County and Union County was all together. And I become the postmistress in the seat. In the party was John King, Scott King, and others of our relatives expected to come later, but as we did not like the life in Wallowa County very well, did not encourage them to come. Our scattered community erected a little log schoolhouse on our claim. When Scott was 8 years old, his mother and aunt, the first teachers, teaching five other kids, and got $25 a month for services for 5 months. Public school. The next year, Miss Hartwell, well, that isn't what I want. I've already read this. The next year, Miss Harper was the teacher. The next year, his sister taught for 4 months. In 1890, when he was 11 years old, we moved to Elgin, and as there was no school building here, we asked for the Mays and Masterson building in their small merchant store next to attending school in an old building, a new one erected that year, U.S. Bernard, Mrs. Proctor, and May Harris, now that was my aunt, were the teachers. In 1894, Leonard Couch opened up a preparatory school in Elgin, taking the place of a high school. The summer of 1898 and 1899, he taught school on Gordon. Now this is my father. He taught school on Gordon Creek, and he taught school in Gordon Creek. No, following year. He graduated in 1900 from Oregon State University, the first pharmacist to graduate in pharmacy from Oregon State, and established the drugstore down here on the corner, my father did. And anyway, this is a picture of, she's the one that wrote this letter, and it was in this trunk, and Carrie's going to type it off. She should have got it done. All right, you from there.
Well, so your father was the first pharmacist, and you grew up here?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Elgin. Yeah, all right, this drugstore right down on the corner. He established it.
That's
and
cool.
He graduated first pharmacist at Oregon State University.
So were you born in Elgin, in the town of Elgin?
Yeah, right over there, about a block from where I live now.
And how was there any special circumstances surrounding your birth, or just a home birth there?
I didn't hear.
Was there, it was, you just had a home birth at your home?
Yes, yes, yes. And the late, a real good friend of my mother's, they had a sawmill up Clark's Creek. I lived across the street, and Dr. Whiting was the doctor, and I was delivered at home, and Mrs. Brown was the first lady to see me. And there was a lady by the name of Grandma Russell who was kind of a midwife, and she went with the doctors and helped take care of the baby. And then she generally stayed for a week or so with the mother and went on.
So was your mom born here too?
No, my mother came to Elgin in 1906 to teach school, and my dad had the drugstore, and they eventually got married in 1912, and I was born in 1915, June the 3rd.
So you went to school in Elgin, can you describe
that? Yes, I graduated from high school in 1933, and I was president of the senior class and was active in sports. Here's a picture of the basketball team when I was a freshman. This is me on the corner. And when I was a junior and senior, the basketball team from Elgin High School was never beaten. We were an undefeated team.
Oh.
And we beat Imbler, I shouldn't say this, 48-2.
Whoa, that's a pretty
And
nice.
I have a gold basketball someplace. I was the most valuable player on the team. But it was different basketball than now. Had six kids. You had a jump center and a running center, and you had your court was divided into three sections. You had forwards on one side and guards on the other. You could only dribble once.
Oh, that is different.
Yeah. We had a man coach, and he was good.
Well, that's good. So what about early grade school and stuff?
I started grade school, graduated from the eighth grade. We had a little ceremony in those days, and yeah, I went to school all. Well, of course, my dad was down here in the drugstore, and both my parents, my mother being a teacher and my dad, they were, my dad was school clerk for many years, and when he died, they hired my mother, and she was school clerk till she was not so young anymore.
So, do you remember, like, the games you played and things like that when you were young?
You mean games when you were a kid?
Yeah, like a little kid.
Oh, well, we played hops. Well, that wasn't a game, but there was hopscotch. I don't know whether you know. You hopped and jumped and hopped and jumped. And then as we got into high school and older, and I was in high school during the Depression, and kids didn't have a lot of money, and we made our own entertainment, and we had the farmers out on Cricket Flat a lot of times had house parties or dances. Maybe they'd take all the furniture out of the front room and you'd dance, and there was always, and my mother used to say, I think those people would get tired of you kids coming out there. But they'd be maybe a carload or two of kids, and we'd bring our own sandwiches, and we'd circle two-step and do everything. And it was generally a fiddle and a piano, you know, the music. And out north here was the, what's the name of the Grange Hall? Rockwall, is it the Rockwall Grange Hall?
Maybe, I don't know.
The Grange, well, yeah, I'll check that name. Anyway, they had dances, and us kids would go out there, and the last dance about ever went out there was we were a senior in high school, and one of the boys had a team of horses and a sled with hay, and there was probably about 20 of us kids went out there, and there was snow. We were in a sled. You couldn't get a car through there. And it rained on us all the way out, and all the time we were there, and all the way home. Oh, what we looked like. We had a good time.
Well, that sounds like fun. So was the school, like, how was it divided into classes? Like,
well, there was 8 grades, and when you graduated from the 8th grade, and the county school superintendent, I think, as I remember, used to come out. They had an 8th grade graduation and would present the certificates to you. And then you went into high school, and, well, you had freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior. You didn't have a lot of maybe extracurricular subjects that you took, but there was, I had algebra and geometry. You had 4 years of English. Down in grade school, you had penmanship, and you had this Pauper method. And in high school, there was typing, and I had law. And I don't know. I think you had to have about the same number of credits that you do this year. What is it, 21, 22?
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's about what we had. I was president of the senior class and was active in sports. And we had, operettas. And we had plays. Each class gave a high school play. I was chairman in the play, and we had a debating team, and I was on the debating team. So we had a well-rounded education, and out of our class, and this was during the Depression, only one boy went on to college, and he taught school over at Milton Freewater, but we got an education that was adequate for our times. My mother wanted me to go to college, but you know, at that time, you think about getting married, and so I got married instead of going to college.
So, in the grade school, were the classes grouped together, or did each class have its own?
No, we had 8th grade.
You had each class had its own teacher?
Own grade, yes. I had 8 grades. And the school, well, I've got a picture of it in there. It was a brick schoolhouse. It burnt during the war, but the grade school and the high school was all the same. And the grade school gym that's here in Elgin now was brand new when I was a freshman in high school. It's kind of an inadequate. The grade school kids play in it now, but it was brand new.
So who did you play when you played other teams?
We played what was known as the Two Valley League. We played Joseph, Enterprise, Wallowa, Elgin, Imbler, Cove, North Powder. And then we had scrimmages or practice games. They were in the league. There was a Catholic school in LeGrand. I want to say St. Mary's. But we played them, and then and I think St. Elizabeth had a Catholic school in Baker, and we played them, but they didn't count. And like I say, we were undefeated for 2 years here in Elgin. I always threw that up to Carrie and Mary.
So what'd you do when you graduated from high school?
Well, it was right during the Depression, and of course I stayed out of school. I didn't go to college. I probably could have, but I didn't. But my dad had an apple orchard. There was a lot of fruit out around Elgin, and he had a packing shed. And this here is my dad and my grandfather. Well, I don't know, that isn't my grandfather. I've got one. But they took and cleared this land over here. It was like this. Then they planted these little trees. That's Elgin. And there was 3 apple packing sheds. And this is my grandmother there by an apple tree. And I sorted apples. And they shipped carloads of apples out of Elgin. It was a big industry. And that's what I did the first year I was out of high school, and I got married the second year. I was 19 when I got married. So
how did you meet Vic?
Well, he had inherited the ranch where Mary lives now, and he was young, and he used to come down to Elgin to the dances, I guess, and got acquainted. Anyway, I went with him. When I was working in the packing. Well, back when I was in high school, they used to some of these others, and Dick refereed, said when you played Elgin, you couldn't beat them because the referee's girlfriend was on the team. You don't need to print that.
So then you got married, and how long was it before you had kids?
A long time, 17 years before Carrie was born. And we lived, it's not now, burned. There was no electricity. We had a well with a hand pump out the back kind of a door. It's that little, have you been on the ranch where J.D. lives? Well, it was a bunkhouse then, and it burned to the ground, but it was just not that big. We lived there and had a toilet outside. And in about 1930, I was married in 1934. About 1936 or 7, we put electricity from Imbler down, and we had to pay them $500 to do it and then guarantee them, and I don't know, maybe we had to guarantee them $500 for 5 years, and so I forget what we paid. And by then, we lived over, do you know where Jack O'Brien lives on the ranch? There's four houses there, and we lived in that one, and we lived there all during the war. And then we, I guess, well, that's that part of it.
So were you involved in a lot of things, or just mostly being out on the ranch?
Probably, yeah, I was involved in lots of things. We had lots of friends here in Elgin, and not so much right then, because the war came along, and it took a lot of the young men, you know, went to war. And of course, farming and agriculture was important because you had to feed the army, you know. And Dick had enough points, or that wasn't what I want to say. If you had so much income or so much land involved in farming, it counted for one man to be deferred. And we had enough points to get five men deferred, but we just didn't have it. So during the war, it was kind of hard. A friend of ours that lived out on the Cricket Flat and us went together, and our hay land would get ripe or ready to hay before they would out there, and then we'd go out there and put hay, and we milked a bunch of cows and had hogs. And then Dick established I got a clipping of old Herefords. He bought them before we were married, and eventually we ended up with 200 head of registered cows, Hereford cows, and very active in livestock sales and shows and stuff. And he was inducted into the Polk Herford Hall of Fame. And I'll take you around there and show you. fact is, I've got a picture someplace with him getting his hat. They took one of his old workout hats, and they inducted several breeders throughout the United States into this back there, and they took and bronzed it and then hung on the wall back there in Kansas City. Cool. And it's out, we've got the hat back anyway. So
I bet that was a lot of work.
Well, it was, and we had a show string, and we took showed cattle and sold bulls. Well, we even shipped heifers to Japan and to Alaska and I believe China, and to had and the, your livestock shows were more you had more purebred cattle, whether they were Angus or Herefords or Shorthorns. Now you have so many mixed breeds, and also you take, oh, Portland had the Pacific International, and Denver had the National Western, and I forget San Francisco, what the name of their shows, and Dick was a director of the American Polled Hereford Association for 6 years, and that was in all over the United States and headquartered in Kansas City, and then he was also on the board of the National Western, and that was a big show in Denver. So, and well, Bess and Lois Doty, how they came here. They came as a herdsman for us, and Mike and Jim were, oh, just little kids. I think Jim was about 6 months old, and they lived at the ranch. And then you probably didn't know Dave and Judy Shepherd. They worked for, but you know the Dotys, don't you? And they came from Carnation Milk Farms. They had a big, well, they had Holstein cows and a big dairy outfit, but they also had purebred polled Herefords, and Vess had charge of the breeding. And then after they were with us for a few years, he got a job with, you know, Boise Cascade, where they live over back at Somerville now.
So how many people worked for you and helped you with all the cows and all your land?
Well, we have, let's see, there's where Mary and Russ lives, and then there was Vess and Lois lived, oh, where, I don't know who lives, well, anyway, there's a couple lives there, and then over there we had, let's see, one,
two,
three, two bunkhouses. We had two bunkhouses and four houses on the ranch, and we've still got them. I mean, Mary rents them. And J.D. lives in one of the bunkhouses. He lives where it burned, and then we rebuilt it a little better than when Dick and I first lived there. But when Dick and I first married, that was the only place on the ranch was this. No toilet, no pump, and no electricity, and everything.
Was that a hard change for you to go to that?
Well, growing up in Elgin, of course, but you know, I think when you're young, you're busy, you know, and I didn't have kids. I just didn't miss it. I used to have to come to town when I come to Elgin to visit my mother. Always took a bath.
So, how has animal care changed that you remember?
Well, there's not, of course, we had a purebred herd, and we sold bulls and heifers, and then we had a show string, and if you were showing cattle, you had to feed them real good. Nowadays, there's not the many breeds that have their own shows anymore, and they do a lot of, artificial insemination and that type of thing, where it used to be all of your commercial breeders, generally you figured one bull to 25 cows, and there was quite a bull market that there isn't now. And they don't have the show strings that they had then because they don't have different purebred herds to sponsor shows and bull sales and things.
So you'd have to pack up the show string into a trailer and haul it?
Yes, that's right. You'd have to wash them and curl their tails and teach them how to stand and scratch them on the stomach. And that's right. They used to say I was the best bull tail curler in Oregon. I don't know whether it was. Nowadays, you just clip the tail. You don't. We used to have to fluff them up like this.
And the ball.
Yeah, and the ball.
Yeah.
And you tied that ball up on the back of the tail, and you wanted them to look taller or bigger. And if the tail was down long, kind of dragging on the ground, so you wanted to get, so you made that ball and tied it up.
Oh, that's a little interesting.
And I had a, both Dick and I led a 4-H club for, well, almost 20 years, a beef club, and also when Carrie and Mary were up in, I had a sewing club too. And then Dick led the horse club. It was the Indian Valley Riders, which is still in Elgin. He had about 35 kids in that, and he and another lady was the horse leaders, and we took the kids camping, and one trip we had was nice. We started out here at the Stampede Grounds with the kids brought their horses, trucked them down here, and then we rode up Clark's Creek to where Billy, you've heard of Billy Hindman's ranch, and then we rode, and we camped out up on the top at Spring up there, I can't think of it, one night, and then we ended up at Cove, and the kids all went swimming, and then the horses, they brought them to Cove, and that was a nice trip. And then Dick and I myself, they had Stampeders have a drill team. Dick and I, and I'm the only one left, were charter members of the Elgin Stampeders, and Dick was drill master for 20 years, and we did square dances, and it was, instead of, mostly kids are in the drill now, but it was couples, and we had to be, you know, and we had about 20 of us. We were dressed alike, and we went to Chief Joseph Gage and over to Union Le Grand, put on our drill, and rode in the parades. We were quite active.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, we were busy.
So there was a strong sense of community in this area?
Oh, yes.
Were churches an important part of what went on?
Yes. My grandparents and I, there was a Presbyterian church here that burnt down, and it's not here anymore. It was on the Toll Gate Highway where that beauty shop, that artistic hair used to be, or Josh's, in there was a Presbyterian church in that block. And then the little Methodist church used to be, right, and it burnt. It's over here now. I started out as a little kid over at the Methodist church, and I've got of my sisters, I don't know whether I got one or not, she had 7 years perfect attendance at this little Methodist church. And then we was at the Presbyterian, and I was married in the Presbyterian church. The minister from Le Grand came out and married us.
Did you have brothers? What were your brothers and sisters?
I had one sister. Right here she is. This is me and this is her.
So she was young. How much younger than you?
2 years.
Were you guys close?
Yes, we were.
And when you...
And she went to college. She got married before she finished. And I think she was over 60 years old, went back to college just to get finish up a year or two. And she graduated, what is it, cum laude or something. But I never went. Now here's Dick and I with horses.
Oh, that's a cute picture.
And here's this house here. Looks like, I don't know, like a fly in the thing.
Looks nice. So, about technology, have you seen lots of change? Like, has the technology changes made a big difference in your life?
Well, not so much in my life, because I figured I was too old to tax my brain. But when we had 200 head of registered cows, and you had to know what bull they were bred to, when they calved, and if it was a heifer and a bull, and then you tattooed them and everything. I did that all by hand. All that. Now Mary's got it in the computer. You just punch it in, and then she can talk to somebody, email or on. And fact is, there's a relative of mine. Let's see, where's a picture of my grandparent? His grandmother was a sister of him. And when Grandpa and Grandma came west, I never heard, well, I knew he left a family back there, and Daddy was a little boy. Never could, no contact with him till this fall. And there was a, he went on the Historical Society here in La Grande, have some lady that her job is of people's looking on the internet. And anyway, he got in contact with her. Sue Wells was her name, is her name. And he said he was looking for any descendants of Edwin Lewis Harris. And he knew he came west. And she did a lot of research around and found out that he was buried here in Elgin and all. And then all at once she dawned on her that I was the granddaughter. Oh. So, and I've got to get, that's another one of my projects. I've got to get all of this information back to him in Illinois. But anyway, I was found on the internet.
That's cool. Do you remember when the telephone came in?
Well, we always had a telephone here in town. Now when I lived on the ranch, it was a kind of a farmer's line, and it went down Brooks Lane up on Pumpkin Ridge. I think there was 11 people on it, and it was a crank phone, and you know. And then Dick put down to the ranch. We eliminated that 11 people on and just the old phone that come to the ranch. But of course, we had the crank phone.
So when you were young, did you ever go to La Grande, or was that?
When I was little, let's see, where's that picture with the two of us? About once a year at Christmas time, I've got another picture of my dad when he had the drugstore. It's over there, had a picture of me on it. It was 1916. And that picture would be taken in La Grande. And maybe once a year, you'd go in town, do a little Christmas shopping. And one time, maybe about the time this picture was taken, the old highway, instead of coming, that does now, you know, at the top of Hamburger Hill, there's a gate and goes down through our pasture, but come down that way on that old muddy road down into Elgin. And we'd stayed in La Grande a little too long, and it was raining, and there's an apple tree out there. Somebody must have tossed an apple seed out. We got stuck in the mud, and Marie and I were in the back seat, and the folks had a coyote robe made out of four coyotes. There was a tail on each corner, and then it had some kind of a blanket on the back of it. Well, we were wrapped in the coyote robe, and Mother out there in the rain trying to push this car. My folks were a little unhappy with each other in the rain, and it was after night. Of course, as older I got, when I was in high school, we went, you know, not like people do now. Sometimes they're there three or four times a day. And then, of course, we did most of our business in La Grande. And there used to be a dance hall at the Zuber Hall in La Grande. And when Dick, and of course, Dick was raised in La Grande. Excuse me, somebody's at the back door.
Okay. So what was day-to-day life like when you were here?
When I was married?
Uh-huh.
Well, like I say, we didn't have a refrigerator or anything, and on the farm, and we had a wood stove that had a kind of a reservoir where you could heat water, and you heated your water and washed the dishes on the top of the stove. But as we progressed from then, and when we got electricity, then we had water, and we had a toilet and bath in the house, with the first year, and we had the hay crews were different. Now you can swath the hay and and bunch it and go with a bale wagon, and one person can do most of the work. But the hay was stacked long on a haystack. You generally had two or three men on the stack and had the buck rakes to bring in the hay, and you probably had, oh, four or five in your haying crew, and you fed them. You had to cook, and you didn't have the modern conveniences that you have now, and you had the thrashing machine for the grain, and you you bound the grain and brought it to the thrasher, and then it they had a big straw stack that you do. And of course now it's all combines, and you had way more hand labor, I mean, than you do now. And you had to feed the men that worked for you then. We had off and on over the years quite a nice crew of kids, but you generally had to feed them. Nowadays they bring their sandwiches or go to the Imbler store and get some. But
what about homemaking, like the aspects of homemaking?
Well, now, like, you mean cooking and sewing
and keeping house, and
well,
how is it, like, do you think it's less important now, and how, what are you,
well,
doing?
See, I never worked out, and when you had the kids, and we generally had a girl in the summertime to help cook, you know, and do it. Well, I did every summer. I did homework. I like to get outdoors a lot, but I always had a good, and here's some of my homework. That's the best of show at the county fair.
Oh, you got lots of
pickles. Pickles. And I can food. Even yet, I, looking in there, I shouldn't do it. But anyway, it was the best of show. And that's all pickles.
Oh, that's a lot of pickles.
And I canned, and I even canned, I canned meat. And my mother now, when I grew up as a kid, we canned everything. Well, the folks had this fruit orchard along, of course, that was Daddy sold the drugstore then, and had berries, and we had a big garden, and down in the basement was a big, well, Mother Wash down there, and shelves were just full of canned foods, even put down eggs in water glass, if you, I don't know whether you ever heard of that, in a crock. And this water glass kind of preserved, and they weren't a good egg to really eat, but to make cake, you know, and stuff. And my mother, we milked a cow at town. You were allowed a cow, and we generally had a pig or two and chickens, and we were very self-sufficient. We did.
How did the Depression affect? Did the Depression have a big effect on you?
Pardon?
Did the Depression have a big effect on you?
Well, it did on my folks, yes, because it my dad, well, he lost these orchards during the Depression, because you get a carload of apples back in Kansas City, and wrapped and packed and everything, and then there's no market for them. It isn't like wheat, you know, they rot, and his health wasn't good, and the Depression, he sold the orchards, but he had to. He got, and then he got it in town here in Elgin. He was justice of peace and did what Joe Garlick does. He's city clerk or whatever it was. And so, but it kind of broke his health. And my mother, the first, well, when I was in high school, she took in boarders, you know, to get by, and she kept school teachers, and they stayed with her. Yes, it affected our life. But as far as Marie and I growing up, we always had plenty to eat, and we always had a good time, and we all the kids was the same. There used to be a song that, what was it? Potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper, and now's the time to fall in love. I think that's what it said. Anyway.
So why did your dad sell the drugstore?
Well, yes, and I was about, it was before I started school. Well, he decided, and he had these apple orchards. There was two of them, the Rainbow, and this one was new, and he'd sold the orchards, and he'd decided that he was going to relocate in the drug business down to Portland. And so when I was about 5 years old, Marie was about three, and Daddy took Grandpa and Grandma with him, we moved to Portland to spend a winter. And he, we just spent a winter. And my grandparents had an apartment house, and we were there. Well, he had to take the orchards back. The sale didn't go through, so he come back to the orchards, and that got him into the depression, sort of, because when he sold out the drugstore was about 1920-21, and when we came back was probably about 1923, and was before I started to school.
So if he hadn't have had to come back for the orchards, you would have lived in Portland?
Probably. I don't know where they lived. So I'm glad to come back, I guess. Of course, it was hard on my folks, and then the depression come, and anyway. But then in later years, too, Daddy did a lot of relief work in the drugstore. But then I've got a picture of where we lived in town. It wasn't necessary where I'm at now. But anyway, it did affect us.
What about when the war started? Did that affect your life a lot?
Yes, it did, because it took all the on the ranch. It took all the young, and we generally had high school kids, and had several families living on the ranch, and it did affect us. Fact is, I was driving grain truck and tried one summer to run the buck rate, but I backed up and broke all the cables on it, so they didn't have me out in the field.
But did it affect did you know someone that went to war, or know personally?
Oh yes,
was
a lot.
Was it upsetting to you?
We had a young boy by the name of Lee Rudd. He's still alive. We had several kids at the ranch went. But Lee lived on the ranch with us, and we had him deferred. Like I say, we at the beginning of the war, we could had five people deferred. When we got down, just Lee was one that left, and he come to Dick, and he said, you know, all of my friends are going to war, and he said, I think I should, I want to go too. So he went, and then it's when we put our crews together with these people on the Cricket Flat, and women worked with out in the fields, and I had a girl that helped with the cooking, we did all right. But it was, I know one thing, when Lee left, we sold the milk cows and the hogs. We got rid of them. And
was there a lot of patriotism?
Oh yes, and you never, never saw anybody burn the flag or protest on the street. You know, everybody was behind the war 100%. You know, that's what irks me now. And we didn't. Another thing that irks me, of course, it's different. About the only news you saw of the war, Life magazine, you know, had pictures of the war, and you'd go to the picture show and they had newsreels, and you know, maybe before the show, and the picture show was always in the opera house, maybe a newsreel of the war. But you know, you get so much of it now, and I don't know whether it's good, whether seeing all this or not. I'm getting tired of CNN, I know that. Don't put that in the paper, though.
So, how old were you when you had kids?
Well, when Carrie was born, I was 37, and Mary was 39. Oh. Yeah, and we were married 17 years. And so I didn't have any children all during the war and that.
Are you glad that you didn't have kids when...
No, we wanted to have kids, but we just didn't have kids, and I did a lot of doctoring, and I think I probably could have had a dozen after cuffs, whatever was wrong with me.
So did that change your life a lot?
A lot, yes, a lot. But if you've been married 17 years and you have a husband that likes to go places and he could come and go to China in 5 minutes and expect you to be ready, well, when you have little ones, you just don't do that. But it was nice. And, of course, my mother was alive then, and she lived here, and my dad was dead. And she liked to be with the kids, and she'd call up and say, "Now, don't you and Dick want to go someplace this weekend?" She wanted to come out to the ranch and babysit Carrie and Mary, and she did a lot of it.
So can you describe, like, what life was like after kids? Like, just stories and anything you can, you know, fun things about your kids.
Well, after Carrie and Mary were born and come along, we got active in kids' activities. I had a 4-H club, and he had a 4-H club. We got involved with school activities. I ended up on the school board, whether that was good or bad, but I enjoyed it. And the kids, you know, showed cattle at the fairs and stuff. And we were involved in with kids, and always had a bunch of kids around. I think you can always have kids that will get involved if you have adults with them, you know. Like I say, Dick had 30. Those wagon wheels are still there. That was a St. Bernard pup. He was the biggest thing. Those trees are still there. Well, here's down at the Pacific International with us with the show string.
Oh, there's those big balled up tails.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Did you... I forget what I was going to say. Oh, what were some other clubs and things that went on in the Imbler area that you can remember?
You know, when I first was married, the little Methodist church on the corner, it's vacant now, had the Ladies' Aid Society, and I also taught Sunday school there. But most of Dick's and our activities with social was here in Elgin, and like I say, we were charter members of the Stampeders, and then I belonged to the Eastern Star and was real active in Eastern Star. And
what'd you do in it?
Well, I ended up worthy grand matron at the state of Oregon before I got through. Have motor homes, you know, and we belong to the Indian Valley Good Sam. Oh, I did quite a few things. I don't know. Like I say, Dick was a director, a national director, and I'll probably think of other things I did.
What did he have to do for being a national director?
Well, twice a year they had the board had a meeting in Kansas City, and I generally went with him. And they met for about 3 or 4 days. And then, of course, all your livestock shows, your big ones, you're supposed to kind of be around. And we had lots of friends all over the United States. I've got a picture out here when they put Dick in the Hall of Fame, and I know practically all of those people, real, real good people. We did a lot of things. I was trying to think. Well, and this the Eastern Star, we put on plays to raise money in the opera house. I generally was in them.
Did you like being in, like, what kind of plays did you do?
Well, one play we did, I was in plays in high school, because each class gave one, was Aaron Slick from Pumpkin Creek was the name of it. And about 20 years later, this we did it in high school, we had the same cast other than one person.
Oh.
we never got very far away from home. But well, I played bridge. I don't know, but mainly after the kids come, most of our activities involved the kids and their activities and all.
Are you still good friends? Like, who are you? Were you friends with in high school that you knew for a long time?
Am I still in friends with them? Well, most of them are gone now. Our class was small. There was only 10 in the class. There's only 2 of us left. I don't know whether you know Bud Scoves. His father was student body president, and I was president of the senior class, and we're the only 2 left. But there's, in our basketball team, up until about 2 years ago, there was 4 of us still alive, but there's 2 still left.
When you had kids and stuff, did you have like a group of friends that was really close and your kids were friends and stuff?
Yes, we did. Of course, being 17 years difference, when my kids come along, the kids, their parents were not friends of my kids because I was younger. I was just as old, but their parents were younger people.
Yeah.
But we as far as our friends when we were older, we were quite close to older people's friends, and so a lot of their friends were just like our kids too. And then generally there was the families at the ranch that had kids, so we always had kids around.
Can you describe any political issues that you remember having a significant impact on, like, the community? Like, things that, like, laws or something that were passed that everyone was just upset about or was for or anything like that?
You mean political things that you were promoting?
Promoting or any kind of political act, like our laws, things like that?
Well, we were quite, Dick got involved with getting electricity out in the valley. What did they call that? The PUD. He got himself on the board and was responsible for getting a lot of electricity. It was government electricity, cheap electricity, to farms and things. Like, I served on the school board and led. Oh, and I was district deputy for the Rainbow for Girls here. We had a Rainbow Assembly, if you know what that is. Well, it was a youth organization that the Eastern Star sponsored, and we had an assembly here in Elgin of about 30-some kids. Well, and LeGrand had one, and Union had one, Baker Enterprise, but with the coming of so many girls getting involved in sports, why, it got so it was hard, and they don't have Rainbow anymore.
Do you remember any particularly strong leader, like government leaders, local ones, like a mayor that stood out a lot?
Well, I'm sure I do. Of course, Imler didn't have a mayor. My folks were quite involved with the school and with the city. Daddy was on the board, and Mother was on the school board for years. And I was president of the State 4-H Leaders Association and won a trip to, Salt Lake City. Well, let's see. Well, I've done quite a bit. I can't think of what I did. Well, let me look some of my stuff here.
Okay.
Oh, right here. I was on the fair board for probably 20 years, and I was also a raider. Appointed by the Department of Agriculture here in Oregon, and you went around raiding fairs.
Oh.
And I, every summer for I rated about six fairs, and they received their money. Each we rated them, we had things that we, they got points on. You gave them so many points. And that each one of those dollars represented, or each one of those points represented so many dollars, and the money that they got from the state of Oregon for the fairs was rated on a rater. And I did that for, did six fairs, every fair in Oregon but Union County and Polk County. I did that after the kids was up and gone. And I enjoyed that. And we had the motor home, and and Dick went with me, and we were both retired, and it gave us something to do in the summer.
When your kids were in school, were you involved, like, helping with sports and all there?
Well, I was on the school board. Well, I helped with 4-H, and they had a Brownie Scout group that I helped with, and I was on the board, or, well, with the fair, and they had a committee then that the fair maids, and I was one of on the fair maid board for several years. And each, the way it started out, each school had, they don't have as many fair maids as they used to, and I was the representative from the Embler School. And we were responsible for the fair maids, you know, getting them closed and getting them there.
I bet that was a big job.
Yeah, it was nice, though.
So it seemed like now, at least in Embler, sports is a really big, like, a community building thing. Was that the same? Like, were there games and teams, and did your girls play and stuff like that?
When my girls were in high school, they didn't have girls' basketball team.
Oh, really?
No, they didn't. Mary was a cheer. I guess both of them were cheerleaders, but I followed basketball. I've always liked it. I went to most of the games, you know.
And the boys?
Yeah, and the boys too.
Was it a community thing where a lot of people went there, or not?
Not too many. Our boys didn't have a strong team, but we did, and it was part of my life, was basketball in high school.
So when you were on the farm, did you get the water from the river, or?
We had a well.
Oh, did you?
And we had a hand pump before we got electricity. You just went out to.
But like for the farm, like for the cattle, how do you water your farm and your
After electricity come, we had watering troughs, and you irrigated your land. But you see, we lived along the river, and there was a slough, and so the cattle watered in the, either got their water from the river or the slough.
And you just dry farmed?
Yes, we dry farmed. We got water, I don't know, in so long I can't think. It was before the, after the war, I think, we got irrigation system down there. And of course that's changed. You used to have to hand pipe, pack the pipe now, and of course they're on wheels and everything's a lot easier.
Yeah, it gets easier hopefully as it goes on. Well, do you have anything else you want to say?
Well, I'll probably think of it after you're gone. I want to show you this. Now, here's Dick with his hat. We were back in Kansas City when he, and this is, Mary was married to Jim then, and that's me, and then this is Ross and Carrie. And I'll show you that. It's about hanging on the wall.
Okay.
I don't know whether you want to use any. Another thing we did a lot of, being on the Stampeders, we packed into the, every summer we went into the High Lakes. That's me right there. And this lady here, she was wife of the druggist. And she, well, anyway, that's, we went, did a lot of camping, and Dick liked to hunt and fish. And every summer we'd pack up and go into the mountains.
Was hunting a big part of?
I never hunted much, but Dick did. I have hunted, No, I never hunted much. I liked to fish, though. I fished.
Where did you guys go fishing?
Well, this was a fishing trip here to North Mina Meadows. Then we went up to Boulder Park quite a lot, West Eagle. We never had a boat. We did stream fishing. Up at Jubilee Lake out of Sumter, is that there? Anyway, the older we got, we eliminated the horses and went in the motorhome.
Oh.
Well, I can't think. Let me, I don't know. Now, here was Carrie and Mary showing horses at the fair.
Was
a colt, and that's Mary. No, I think that's Carrie there, and that's Mary. November 61.
Cool.
Anyway.
Well,